I think most people get this statement wrong. Money is the root of all evil.
Right.
That is incorrect. Scripture says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. What is up? Welcome back to another Uncommon. We're talking about money.
Yay.
Money talk.
Woo.
Everybody loves that conversation.
I always love the joke about when the church does the sermon on tithing or money, they're like, well, is the church okay? Do we need funding? So it's like a kind of dirty word when it comes to money and faith and everything like that.
I think it's healthy for a church to talk about tithing. If they harp on it, one, it turns people off. Two, I think people do not understand when they think of a nonprofit.
Yeah.
They're like, they're not thinking of, well, something costs in here. The lights, AC, all these things cost.
Sure.
And it costs someone. Mm-hmm. And so by donations, that's how it occurs.
Yeah.
And so I don't think any nonprofit, other than the shams, want to beat that drum and talk about it. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, it's one of those things. Even we talk about it once in a while.
Yeah.
This is not about that, but this is just talking about how we handle and approach money.
Yeah, because I think it's always a stressor for, you know, any guy of like, you know, are we making enough? How are our finances holding in the house? Am I, you know, making enough at my job? And for a lot of guys, you know, finances are like, it's just this shy of taxes, right? You're like, oh,
sure.
I gotta do the budget. We recently had a Bible study meeting, and we're talking about just communication as a couple, and one of the couples talked about they had like a monthly meeting to kind of talk about to each other, like, you know, hey, what's going on? Do we need to improve anything, that kind of thing. And they said in the beginning they would do that as a relationship, and they would also do their budget at the same time. And he's like, they did that one time. He's like, that's too much. There's too much emotion going on, so they do their budget separately. But it's a highly emotional thing to kind of deal with for, you know, yeah, there's, you know, you know, you're blessed with this money, you know, using it to, you know, be good stewards, you know,
right.
Tithing, but also, I mean, life is expensive, and,
sure.
You know, you see that everywhere. I mean, you had that whole thing of, like, eggs were, like, it felt like $20 a carton at one point.
These are designer eggs.
These Fabergé eggs? Can I eat these? What is this? And so it's one of those things, I think it's a stressor. That is a consistent stressor all the time.
Sure.
And people, and you kind of get used to it a little bit, and then like something happens. Like we talked about this in the past of it's not paycheck to paycheck so much. It's like big vacation to medical emergency, where most
right.
people live fine enough that if they went on like a one big vacation or they had a huge medical emergency, their savings would be depleted.
Sure.
And there is, you know, inkling of control there, right? Like if you feel worried about it and you're like, hey, I don't have enough to go on, there is like, well, crap, I'm not in control right now. You know, the finances are dictating that, and that can be, you know, a dark place to put yourself in.
Yeah, having known multimillionaires,
mm-hmm.
like probably close to a billion, all the way down to me, I can honestly say that 99%, this is an accurate statement, 99% of the time, you will never have enough money to be happy in your situation. You will think that you always need to have more money.
Yeah.
Whether that's true or not, we do make our lives somewhat expensive on our own.
Mm.
Every fourth jacket I buy, or out to eat, coffee, third car,
mm.
whatever it is, we do make ourselves life a little more expensive.
Mm.
But I've known people who have millions, and they're never content. They're always angling for, I need to get more of that. I need, when I retire, I'm going to have this and that and the other. And now that I have all this money, I need to have more. So I was talking to a friend, and I'm like, you know, say you retire with, you know, $2 million, and you got this sheepish look on his face like it was going to be a whole lot more than that. And I said, well, that proves my point that whatever that number is,
right.
because you're still sweating it tells me and should tell you that we may have a wrong perspective on money.
Yeah, I mean, I think it very easily can become an idol. And I know that sometimes, over the years, I've had to come to terms with, as much as I can plan and save, there are unexpected things of Heather's medical emergency, the dogs have something going on, the house has something going on. And I've had to give that up to the Lord and be like, okay, Lord, I will be a good steward about it, but I cannot live and die on every dollar. I just can't. If financial security is so important to you that everything else kind of goes away, and you're like, okay, I'll be good once I get X amount of money.
Right, you'll never get there.
Right. And that's why I think it can really be dangerous of like, that's now going to be an idol. That's now you put more power in the money that you trust that more than the Lord keeping, keeping you safe and having you in the palm of his hand. Right.
So I won't name names, but I knew a guy who knew a person that owned a very large fried chicken franchise. I won't say who it is, but that person acquired another company that had, I don't know, like 1,500 locations of another chicken company. Within a month, he had to file bankruptcy and lost 80% of what he had built over the course of time. And my friend asked him, "Why did you do that? You were very successful before this." He said, "I wanted to see what it felt like to be a billionaire just once." If that's the goals we're setting, you and I are going to struggle. People who make more money than us are going to struggle because it will never be enough. That, whatever, $500 million in the bank, whatever it was not enough for this person. He wanted to feel that billion,
Right.
and it cost him pretty much his entire empire.
Right.
So when we're talking about the pressure of debt and trusting God with all the expenses, I think starting with that, it all belongs to God anyway.
Right.
We're in care of it. Like the talents
Yeah.
parable, one made, well, nothing, he buried it.
Yeah.
One made a little, one made a lot. He came back, he was angry at the one who buried it. He took that and gave it to the person who made twice, right? And so, just an example that God wants us to invest in the kingdom.
Right.
And we all have expenses,
Yeah.
and that'll never go away. Whether it be medical, unexpected, or car, whatever it is, but how we approach it. And I love that. I think most people get this statement wrong. Money is the root of all evil.
Right.
That is incorrect. Scripture says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil."
Right.
So when you put money in the wrong perspective, it robs you of the happiness. Yeah, you'll enjoy all the things you can do with it at some point, but in the back of your mind, you're still like, "Man, I'm not making what I'm just losing money now."
Meter's ticking, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. It feels that the anxiety around money, you would think, would dissipate as you got more of it.
Right.
It's not been my experience with friends, people I've worked with and known. I've come to the conclusion that whatever Dana and I retire with, money-wise, it is going to be enough.
Right.
I don't care if it's under $1 million, above $10 million. I don't care what it is. It's going to be enough, and
Yeah.
we'll be content, whatever that is. I know people who they're going to retire with 10+ million, and it looks like they're the poorest people you'd ever meet.
Right, because I think it's a little bit of that, the American dream of, make as much money as possible so you can
Right.
retire and then travel the world, right? There's a little bit of that that we've been kind of sold. And again, it's one of those things that you may not think that money is an idol in your life, but it's really easy to tell when you trust your stock portfolio more than the Bible when it comes to consistency, right? Like,
Right.
well, I'm checking my stocks every day. I'm not reading my Bible every day. It tells you kind of where your priorities are, and it's really easy to fall in that category. And it can be of the best intentions of like,
Sure.
hey, I'm trying to set up a really good financial situation for when we have a family. There's nothing wrong with
Not
that.
at all.
It's moderation, like we always say. If it becomes such a big thing that you're working 80 hours a week to try to pad that bank account and not spending time with your family and leading them, if it's, hey, I don't want to tithe because that'll cut into whatever thing I'm trying to save for.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that we need to really check our hearts on because, it's such an easy thing because I mean, we're sold to constantly throughout the day, right? As soon as you wake up, the moment you put your head down, you are sold thousands of times per day. And I think a lot of that advertising and marketing is kind of built around, well, you buy this thing, you'll be happy. I mean, look how happy this person is holding the coconut or the perfume or whatever the
Gotta
case may
have that
be.
coconut.
Yeah. And so it's easier when you're looking back on it. It's really hard when you're in the flux of that, of like, man, well, that new iPhone just came out, man. It looks pretty nice. It looks pretty nice. I think I'll probably use that new iPhone. And we start rationalizing stuff like that. And so it always goes back to the heart. If you're
Yeah.
not turning your heart to mimic the Lord, then, it's way easier to lead yourself astray with financial gain or loss or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I've been on the other end of that spectrum after Katrina, virtually homeless. We're just in an old state kind of thing, evacuating, jobless. There have been times when it's been a little bit like borderline, right? And then there's been times of plenty, right? Obviously, there was a lot, little more anxiety on that 2 years with Katrina, but I feel like many people still have that same anxiety as they get more, because now they don't want to lose what they have.
Right, the shift to the other side. So I want more. Well, now that I have it, I can't lose it.
Correct. So I think that, as always, perspective, right? Putting the first things first. Seek ye the kingdom, and all things will be added, right? And we tend to get that horse, well, the carriage before the horse, so to speak. If you are experiencing some anxiety around this, visit our website. We have quite a few articles on money, finance, but we're going to be writing a new original around this and how to approach that, and talking about those situations of, okay, now that I have money, why am I still stressed? Or I don't have money, how am I going to make the ends meet? Don't have all the answers to that, but one thing you can do is put God at the center of either side of that spectrum and help with the storm. So, all right, Joshua, hit him with it.
You're going to be something. Be uncommon.